What makes Relevant Radio stand out?
Abercrombie & Fitch and even Walmart are selling padded bras for 10 to 12-year-olds. So we see that we're becoming more and more desensitized to the sexualization of our girls.
One thing I've been telling parents for a while now is if you made mistakes, you're in a perfect position to tell your kids not to do the things you did. It doesn't mean you have to go into excruciating detail, but you can say, listen, this is not what I want for you.
Yeah, and since when did parenting become not about being the wiser person in the room? We kind of got to get over our issues and not be afraid to parent. And in the case of the way girls are dressing nowadays, the complete lack of modesty, the message it's sending them that they are only as good or as worthy as how much other boys desire them, these are dangerous messages that can send girls absolutely down the wrong path at a very formative age and has very long-term consequences.
Now that's relevant. This week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit with Bishop-elect Donald J. Hying of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Brought to you this week by American Landscape and Allstate agent Deacon Scott Campbell. And now, Bishop-elect Donald Hying.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of New Heart, New Spirit. My name is Bob Dolan, and I'm here today as part of a two-part special program with seminary rector and bishop-elect Father Don Hine. Now, Father Don is usually the host of this show. Today, we're going to turn the tables, and he is the guest of his own show. Morning, Father Don. How are you?
Morning, Bob. Great. How about you?
I don't know what to call you. Is it Father Don? Is it bishop-elect?
I think it's just hey you.
It's you hey know. You for
whatever,
the next,
whatever
okay,
works.
That works for me.
That works for me, too.
It's been a month since the news.
That's right.
I mean, how are your emotions? How are you doing?
Yeah, amazingly at peace. I was just saying to Matt before we started that it's something that is so big, unusual, surprising that either you can either lose your mind asking yourself all the questions that you want answers to, or you just accept it. You just surrender to it. And God's given me the grace, I think, just to surrender. So I feel a deep peace with it, despite all of the activity around it.
Tell us about the circumstances of the announcement itself. When did you know? Who told you? Mm-hmm. I know there's always a week or two in between you knowing and the public knowing. So just walk us through the process.
The process would be usually the local bishop would submit what's called a terna, three names, to the Vatican. And then the Congregation for Bishops oversees the whole process of vetting possible candidates. So they would send questionnaires to former pastors, former priests that worked with the person in question, people that would know the candidate well, to give testimony about the integrity of his life, you know, his effectiveness as a priest. Is this a good person that would be a candidate for bishop? So despite what everybody wrote and said about me, they still appointed me in the end. But it's a lengthy process, which is good because it means church takes very seriously who they're nominating as bishops. Obviously, a bishop is a key player in the leadership of the local church and the universal church. So at the end of that whole process, a list of three names ranked in order is sent to the Holy Father. And the Holy Father, obviously, is the one that makes the final pick. Obviously, also at the advice of the Congregation for Bishops, because there's no way the Pope could know all these guys personally. So long story short, back in May, the Papal Nuncio to the United States, Archbishop Pietro Sambi, Italian Archbishop, out of the blue called me just on my office line. So Debbie took the call, called into my office and said, the Papal Nuncio's on the phone.
That's a first, I would assume?
That's a first. He doesn't call you just to say, you know, how's your day going? You know, what's the weather like in Milwaukee?
How about those Brewers? Right.
So pretty much cuts to business and just said, you know, Holy Father has appointed you to be the new auxiliary bishop for Milwaukee. Do you accept? So it isn't, you know, we'll give you 72 hours to think about it. It's pretty much the expectation. You know, we've come to this conclusion, and we ask you to accept it in obedience. I would assume if a candidate absolutely insisted on saying no, that would be respected. But when I look at my priesthood, every single time I've moved to a new role, new assignment, it's always been at the invitation, the instigation of someone in authority over me. And I've always felt that being obedient to the church has never led me wrong. It's always been the right thing. So it's a great way just to trust God's will and surrender to it.
Now, in the process, when members of the Archdiocese are filling out their forms and recommending mm-hmm. people, do you get forms about other people? In other words, are you asked to recommend who you think would be good auxiliaries?
Well, there's a point when the Archbishop asked all the priests of the Archdiocese
right.
to submit names.
So you're part of the process.
Part of the process yeah. in that regard. In terms of writing out the evaluation forms, I didn't receive any on another candidate,
okay.
but there's a potential for that,
okay.
certainly.
Do you hear whispers? In other words, do you hear, hey, Father Don, I'm hearing things that, people are recommending. Do you hear that?
As you know, with your brother, I think there's always, rumors in the wind. Those are always to be vigorously disregarded because 98% of it isn't true. So, you always hear stuff, but I never took it seriously or believed it. Who would think, I'm the right candidate
yeah.
to be bishop?
Until the phone call from Washington, D.C., you really had no idea. You had no clue. You weren't making plans. You just thought that this isn't going to happen.
Yeah, I hadn't bought a mitre and,
right.
put it in my drawer
right.
or anything
good
like
move.
That, which is good. So again, I think the process, in a sense, is confidential, which really guards the integrity of the process. You wouldn't
yeah.
want people knowing things ahead of time. So there's a formality to it. There's a due process to it. Again, obviously, the church takes that process very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Wants candidates for bishop that were effective priests, good pastors, men that think and love with the church, I think.
Everyone I've ever known in my life who has had your experience elevated to auxiliary or archbishop, mm-hmm. They all tell me they've had the same reaction. I'm not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody else has to be better at this mm-hmm. than me. Did you have that reaction? And if so, why? Humility is a beautiful mm-hmm. thing, but why would most people have that same reaction?
I think it's a normal reaction. Obviously, again, a bishop is a key player in the church, has an enormous amount of responsibility. What he says carries weight. People listen to him. He's the chief teacher and administrator in a diocese, especially when you're the ordinary, the one responsible, like Archbishop Listecki. So I think the normal response is to say, I'm not worthy of this. There's other people more qualified than myself. Again, I think if someone said, well, it's about time you found me, we'd look at that person with a suspicious eye, thinking, mm-hmm. That's not the person you'd mm-hmm. want as bishop. So when you're faced with the enormity of what's before you, you truly feel inadequate to the task. And that's a good feeling because it means we're compelled to rely on God's grace, providence, and wisdom. When you read the Bible, it just seems so clear to me from Genesis to Revelation, God always picks, in a sense, the least likely candidate. Whether it was Abraham, who was too old, Moses, who stuttered, David, who was too young, Jeremiah, who was too young, Blessed Virgin, who wasn't even married, always seems to pick the least likely candidate to bring about his will, to show that it's his grace working through human vessels. It's not our strength. And I certainly feel that with myself. It's kind of a case of the least likely candidate.
But in that fact, you find strength?
I do.
You do, yeah.
I do, because it's not, ultimately, it's not about me. It's not about the personality of the person filling the position. It's really the position itself, the office, which Christ gives the grace for that person to fulfill and to lead the church. So the freedom comes in knowing my own weakness, surrendering that weakness to the strength of God.
I would think too, Father Don, that obedience is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because and all priests take that vow to obedience mm-hmm. at ordination. So it's not as if you have a choice, and mm-hmm. I think that's an asset. I think mm-hmm. that's a plus. Because this is what you're told to do, and mm-hmm. by God, I'm going to go do it.
Yeah, freedom comes from obedience. When you really submit yourself to the church and just say, church knows better than I, and to trust that God is working through the church to lead all of us, to submit yourself to that, to surrender to that. And in a sense, you don't have to think or worry about it, because you just trust that God puts you in the place that he wants you to be. And if that's true, then you have to trust that he'll give you the grace to do what he's put you in that position to do. And I feel that very deeply. You know, I think Archbishop Dolan put it beautifully when he was called to New York. He said, any quote-unquote promotion within the church is actually profoundly an invitation to a deeper life of service within the church. So it's not rising to the top. It's really, I see the church as an inverted pyramid, so that the hierarchy are really the people on the bottom, supporting, loving, holding up the whole body of Christ.
Now, from the time you get that phone call to the time general public knows is a matter of weeks.
A couple weeks, right.
Are you allowed to tell anyone?
I'm strictly allowed to tell no one.
No one.
So it's kind of the litmus test of, you know, can you keep your mouth shut about things that are significant and confidential? And I can honestly say I didn't tell a soul. I mean, Archbishop Lestecky knew, so I talked to him about it a couple times. So it's kind of a gestation period where you're kind of in darkness and silence, just kind of living with this knowledge. But again, there's a peace with that. There was a deepening of my prayer life in that period of, of waiting.
And it was a couple of weeks?
It was a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And was there a time or two or circumstance or two where you were tempted or at a social event? Hey, we're hearing that you might be, you know, does it get tough in those 2 weeks?
A couple times, but you just kind of pretend like you don't know anything. Playing dumb comes natural to me, so it's pretty good. But I remember Aaron Dolan saying at one point, maybe the new auxiliary will come to this party that she was having. And yeah, I was just thinking, I think he's coming. She doesn't know it yet, but yeah, he'll
sure,
be there.
Sure. So Archbishop Lestecky knows it about the same time you know.
He does.
Okay.
Which would make sense.
Yeah.
That he
so
would
after
know
you get the phone call, he would get the phone call.
Immediately after,
yes.
I think. Right?
Yes. Yeah. And does an archbishop, is he aware of the three names on the list? Is he the one who sends the three names?
He's, as I understand it, and I don't know much about this, as I understand it, he would send his three names in. That doesn't necessarily guarantee that the three names that go to the Holy Father would be the same. But I think in most cases, the presumption is that the desire and selection of the local bishop should be respected, since he's the man on the ground in the situation
that would
know.
Okay. All right. We're not done talking with you yet. I hope that's okay. I bet
good.
You like it on the other end of the microphone, don't you? You just like asking the questions on this show.
Well, this is
a lot
good.
Easier.
You make it comfortable, so that's great.
Well, we got more to ask you.
Good.
This is
you.
A special edition of the New Heart, New Spirit program with Father Don Hine. I'm Bob Dolan. We'll be right back.
Do you ever count people talking on their cell phones while driving? It's pretty scary. But what about scary behavior you can't see? A recent study says that 1 in 7 drivers doesn't have car insurance. If one hits you, are you covered? Don't hope so. Know so. Get your free Good Hands coverage checkup. Contact Waukesha Allstate agent Deacon Scott Campbell, 262-548-3800, or go to relevantradio.com, keyword insurance. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is what Catholic radio sounds like.
We're going to talk a little bit about software and things to consider when you're buying some.
Only 20% of households in 2010 were made up of married couples with children.
It is an ongoing conversation because the older I get, the less I realize I know.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Holiness is God's project in me.
Just remember a comment of a friend when I was complaining about something. He said, yeah, but you get to say Mass. And he was right. It's a privilege.
Now that's relevant.
Warm summer sun, backyard gatherings, lush landscaping. Do you dream of turning your ordinary yard into a beautiful outdoor living space? American Landscape can make that dream happen. Serving Southeast Wisconsin since 1973 and family-owned, American Landscape can provide a variety of landscape services by certified professionals. For more information, go to relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword landscape. That's keyword landscape. American Landscape, a proud business supporter of Relevant Radio.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody, to this special edition. It's part one of a two-part interview with Father Don Heyen, our bishop-elect. My name is Bob Dolan. So, Father Don, who's the first person you told? Once you were allowed to talk, who was it?
First person I called was my brother Will, who I'm closest to in age. He's 3 years older than me, so he's the first one that got the call from me.
Where's he at?
He lives in Jefferson. He and his wife are on a farm. He's okay. A tool and die maker. Has done mission work in different places, involved with the church. So I think his reaction was one of, combination of profound shock and pride. You know what that like, right?
You better believe it, yeah.
Yeah. Then he made a great comment. He said, if I'd known you were going to be bishop when we were kids, I probably wouldn't have beaten you up as often.
Yeah.
And my response is, well, maybe the beatings made me the person I am, so I'm calling you first to thank you, you know, for all of those.
Your heart is full of forgiveness because of what he did to you.
Yeah, that's right.
right. I think most older brothers, because I remember the couple of times in my life when my older brother would call me about his assignment here to Milwaukee and then his appointment to New York. Your first job, I think, of an older brother is to ridicule.
That's right.
You know, in other words, you've got to be kidding me. Or, you know, is this April Fool's Day? What, you know? But no, there's enormous pride from any family member and any close friend. Mm-hmm. So after your brother, then were you just made the rounds with your family?
Yeah, did family, did some close friends, called some people that work here, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The announcement was made at noon in Rome that day, which was 5 a.m. here. So by 5:02, phone was ringing. I was live on WTMJ, I think, by 6 o'clock. The Archdiocesan Communications team had put together a great plan, so that was just unfolding exactly as they had planned it.
Look ahead a little bit now. I mean, we're only two or three weeks away. What do you think it's going to be like to work with and under Archbishop Listecki?
It's going to be a profound pleasure and honor for me. I think he's the right man at the right time. You know, Archbishop Dolan took us very far in our archdiocese in terms of just bringing us to a new point of pride in our Catholic faith, being out there evangelizing, you know, proclaiming what we believe, not being ashamed of that, but just stepping forward in faith and with great joy. And Archbishop Listecki has really stepped up to the plate in terms of continuing that momentum. Obviously, a large part of his energy right now is concentrated on the Chapter 11 bankruptcy thing, getting us through that.
Mm-hmm.
He's both a canon lawyer and a civil lawyer, so in a sense, he's aptly situated in terms of his background and education to lead us through that. And he keeps saying we're going to come out on the other side stronger, better, and moving forward. So to come into his team as a servant at this time is a great honor, but also a great opportunity, I think, to do good, to support him, to extend his presence, his mission throughout the Archdiocese.
Do you take great pride in the fact that he refers to you as a servant? Because that's a high compliment.
Yeah, I don't know if servants should take pride in being servants, but when you look at the gospel, you know, that's what it's about, isn't it? It's not about us being on display as people of power. Christ always put his power in the harness of service of other people. So anytime we disconnect power and service, we're no longer following Christ.
But what would the role be in any diocese of an auxiliary bishop? Is there a blueprint? Mm-hmm. What will you do?
To some extent, I mean, each one is probably a creative mixture of what the local archbishop or bishop desires for his auxiliary to do. Oftentimes, they're vicars for clergy, general vicars for the diocese, moderators of the curia, which means they would oversee the day-to-day administrative life of an archdiocese. Right now, I'm staying on as rector until we discern and the archbishop chooses a new rector. In some dioceses, the rector of the seminary is an auxiliary bishop.
Mm-hmm.
That will not be the case with me permanently. As I understand it, certainly confirmations play a significant part in the life of every bishop. So I'll probably be doing 40 to 50 confirmations a year. Certainly representing the archbishop at events and activities that he can't be at. Priest funerals, priest parents' funerals, anniversaries of parishes, special events. You know, there was a list piled up next door at Cousins Center of items for the new auxiliary bishop. So once I was named, that all came into my inbox.
Yeah.
So
what, the size of a phone book or what?
not too bad yet, but the floodgates are open.
Yeah.
Stuff's coming in, which is good. That's how it should be. I don't want to just twiddle my thumbs.
Is there a duty or two in particular that you would relish, that you would really look forward to?
When I think about it, really being out in the parish will be a delight for me. It's something that I did to some extent as rector here when I did my seminary Sunday program in the parishes. So it kind of kept my finger in the pastoral pie.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it'll be a great fix for my pastoral desire to be back out with the people. And that's, again, confirmations, parish anniversaries, that sort of thing. So in a sense, there's a more pastoral role for an auxiliary bishop than there is for a seminary rector.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I certainly see the need for paperwork and meetings and stuff, but I don't want to be stuck behind my desk.
I was just going to say, I mean, I guess the risk of a role like this would be that you're chained to the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all seen that with archbishops and auxiliary bishops, yeah, where there's just so much paperwork to do that you've got to do it.
That's right.
But I've never met a priest yet or a bishop or an archbishop who doesn't say, I'd much rather be spending my time out with the people.
That's right.
This is not my strength, is signing papers.
Yes, you can't be negligent, but at the same time, you can't let the paper chase run your life either.
Yeah. What was the response from fellow priests here in the Archdiocese?
I'm positive. I think certainly everyone would have their opinion on who the new auxiliary should be. I mean, I think I'd be delusional if I thought that I was everybody's first pick, because everyone has different opinions on that. So, but you're really called to be a bishop for everyone, but with a greater particularity, the priests. I think on one level, there was a pride that one of our own diocesan priests was chosen. It's the first time that's happened in 32 years since Bishop Skelba was chosen as the auxiliary. In those years, both Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz and Bishop Joseph Perry, who are respectively the ordinary of Lincoln, Nebraska, and auxiliary of Chicago, were diocesan priests from Milwaukee who were chosen to be bishop, but obviously went to other dioceses. So I think there's a sense of it's an honor for the Milwaukee Presbyterate, certainly. I know the younger guys greatly because they were here at the seminary with me as Dean of Formation and Rector. So look forward to making connections with the priests that maybe I don't know as well or haven't had a chance to work with.
And what about the fellows here at the seminary?
A combination of being excited, but also I think some sense of regret that, you know, formally we're going to be parting ways a little bit. I won't be their rector anymore. I'm sure there's things they won't miss about me. So, you know, it's always a mixed bag.
What would that be? No, maybe that's our next show.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I would think, though, that they probably didn't see it coming. You never do.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm sure it's a great source of pride that hey, my rector is now our bishop.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And how are all the plans coming? Does it blow you away that how many things there are to do before it actually happens?
A lot of things. Barbara Ann Cusack, our chancellor, has put together a planning team, and they're doing a lot of the legwork, but there's still decisions I have to make. Pulling together guest lists is a daunting task because you can't invite everybody you'd want to invite. Choosing an Episcopal motto, getting somebody to do my coat of arms, all that sort of thing. I mean, those are all decisions. Sitting for my formal portraits was interesting. I borrowed Archbishop Listecki's Episcopal gear. So interesting what I have on him in height, he has on me in upper chest size. So the stuff actually hung right because somehow we matched.
So that part's off the checklist.
That's right.
You got the official photo.
That felt pretty strange.
I bet it did.
Felt like dress up.
Have you seen it?
I saw them, yeah.
And do you approve of the proof?
A couple of them. I mean, the ones that are the least ugly are going to print. So
was that an all-day session or?
Pretty much. Yeah.
No, that one doesn't work. Try another one.
Right.
That's probably the toughest. You mentioned the motto. See, that's something that most people probably wouldn't even think of.
Yeah, every bishop.
How hard is that process?
Yeah, every bishop gets to choose a motto.
Yeah.
It's interesting. In the 2 weeks between me knowing and everybody knowing, I did a wedding. And the second reading was the traditional reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, his hymn to charity, you know, love is patient, love is kind. And I was sitting there listening to that reading, and the line, love never fails, really hit me. And I thought, that's my motto. Love really? Never fails.
Okay, so you've decided.
That's it. And in Latin, it's caritas numquam excedit. I had to practice saying that a few times.
Uh-huh.
But sounds better in English. But yeah, love never fails. Just the idea that, you know, if you love God and love others, you can't go too far wrong. So that's my hope for my Episcopal service.
Now, do you have to make sure that that hasn't been used yet?
I don't think nobody said anything.
Yeah.
So,
if is there
there's no copyright.
You go into, or,
not really.
Who's got this one? You don't have to do that.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And what about
Code of Arms.
The Code of Arms, yeah.
Yeah, that's in process.
How do you do that? Yeah.
You get emails. There's, like, professional people, like, just lurking in the wings waiting for new bishops to be assigned so they can come in and offer their services. So, got emails from all over the country from these heraldry people who do this for a living. I can't even imagine. But one of them is a permanent deacon in Rhode Island, so he's putting it together for me.
All right.
So wanted something representative of the Archdiocese and St. John the Evangelist, who's our patron saint. So we chose an eagle because eagle is the symbol for St. John. Also kind of speaks to the Germanic heritage of Milwaukee. I'm also partially German. We're also doing an image of the Sacred Heart, which kind of connects to the charity theme, and that's still in the works. So it'll be done by my ordination, certainly.
That must be exciting, though, to try to pick up pieces of your past.
It is.
Important enough to put into your coat of arms.
Yeah, Archbishop Listecki said, be sure you like it, because that's it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You can't redo it.
Right. He was speaking from experience.
That's right.
Yeah, hope he likes it. Well, it's been great to visit with you. I know that you've got a few news and notes from around the Archdiocese for your weekly listeners. Thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you, Bob. This was great. Yeah, just a couple updates. This Sunday, the Vocations Office retreat for high school men begins. Is It I, Lord? Is held here at the seminary from Sunday, June 26th through Wednesday, June 29th. For more information, visit www.thinkpriest.org. Our golf outing is Monday, July 25th at Triple I Country Club. I'll be there just 5 days after my ordination, along with Archbishop Listecki. Please join us either for the golf or later for our cocktail reception, dinner, and program and live and silent auctions. It's a great day, and it's a great opportunity to support the important work of our seminary. Also, save the date for our annual dinner, which will be held Friday, September 30th at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Milwaukee. Our goal is 900 people, 90 tables. If we just get 90 parishes to buy a table, we're there. So nudge your pastor, nudge anybody you can think of to support the major fundraiser of the seminary. Thank you, Bob, for being with us today, and thank all of you for listening. Please tune in again to our program on Friday mornings.
This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee has been brought to you in part by American Landscape and Allstate Insurance agent Deacon Scott Campbell.
Life as you've never heard it.
Morning Air.
I would make a reference to the novel Dune right here, but it would just be tragically geeky. So I won't.
Because the show has never gone in that direction before.
No, absolutely not.
The Inner Life.
Aren't we all afraid of something and afraid to act in so many ways?
Go ask your father.
When we pray the Our Father, every time we pray it, we are reaffirming that fundamental truth that we are God's children.
On Call.
I can never be that perfect. I'm a simple person. I'll never be a saint. Which is just hogwash. It's possible for all of us, absolutely.
Drew Mariani.
Gosh, you went from a logger to being on a tugboat to ultimately making the journey to the priesthood. You know what it's like to be a father? I can see God really using you in a very, very powerful way to minister to his people.
A closer look.
People are grabbing onto this, which is what we need to talk about here before the end of the show. What's going on out there? Why is this so popular? But before we do that,
this is
listener supported.
Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.